Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Man, praise God. Isn't God good this morning? How many just want Him? Amen. I just want Him. Amen. There's been a lot of things in my life that I've wanted. Many of them I've gotten, and I've been somewhat disappointed. But with Him, I've never been disappointed. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Mark today. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. This morning, I want to begin a three-week series on redefining normal Christianity. Amen. How many know what normal is? Normal is a dryer setting. That's all it is. Especially in these day and age, in this day and age, normal's hard to define. Amen. One man's normal is another man's weird. Amen. But today what I want to do is I want to start this series. I felt led to do this because we are living today in some extraordinary times. Can you say amen? The world is changing rapidly every day. And as a result, I believe God is extending a profound invitation for you and I to rise above the ordinary. Can you say amen? And to embrace the abundant life that He has designed for us. Now, I want to say something. I want to take, this is not even in my notes, but I got thinking about this after I wrote my notes and thought, oh, I should have said this. So this is free of charge, okay? The abundant life. You know, there's so many ways to define what's abundant. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking that in the context of living in the United States, when you think about abundance, you think about somebody that has a big house, a nice car, fine clothes, plenty of food. They got money that, you know, disposable money that they can go and do things as they want. You think, oh, that's abundance. But you know what? I've been to Africa, and I've watched people that have not even a hundredth of what we have, and they're abundantly living. They're living with abundance. Because, see, the problem is we have come to a place where we measure abundance by things, or we measure abundance by what we can see, rather than who we are and what is God's called us to be and what He's doing in our lives. I remember, I didn't see it myself, but I remember Pastor Alex talking about a worship service. I believe, if I got the story right, it was in Mozambique. And there was the only real instrument they had was a drum, and it was a primitive drum at that. And this guy was playing the drum, doing this beat with his hands, and they were worshiping God. And the presence of God was in that place in such a way that it was just mind-boggling. I'm going to tell you, that's abundance. Okay? And so when I say today, when I look at you and talk about that we need to live the abundant life, I'm talking about the fact that what we do is we step beyond what is ordinary for us and step into something that is of God. Can you say amen? Amen. That's abundant in Him. The Bible says this in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief comes except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But He says, I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it," what? Life, "more abundantly." God wants us to have life. Can you say amen? He wants us to be alive, full of life. Jesus not only acknowledges the presence of difficulties, but He assures us of a life that will transcend mere existence. You know, sometimes I watch people, and this can even be Christian people, who are just simply getting by. They're existing. They're getting to the next day. If I can survive this day, maybe I can survive the next day and the next day. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's no way to live. That's not abundant life. Can you say amen? God has called us God has gifted us. He's empowered us. God has placed his hand upon us. He's anointed us to live in divine abundance with purpose and with joy. Can you say amen? Now, too many Christians are just simply going with the flow, accepting what may ever come in their life. But we are called today to rise above the acceptable. We are called to escape the ordinary. Amen. One of the things that I just absolutely detest, it just bothers me, is when everything seems to be predictable. Does that get to you? I mean, for a little while, it's fun. It's for a little while, it's like, okay, we could take a breather. It's safe. It's like, it's everything is good. It's like, okay, we know what to expect. This is predictable. I know what's coming next. I know where everything's coming from, all of that. But there is something about our hearts that God put in us to be alive in the place of unpredictability, to face something that is larger than ourselves, to go out and to be something more than we could ever dream of being. Can you say amen? And so in our text, there is a story. I have loved this story for a long time. I remember the first time I heard this story and first time I heard it preached. It just touched my life. It's found in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "And again, he," meaning Jesus, "entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then he came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house.' Immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went out into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Oh, God, help us that people would say of us, "We have never saw anything like this." I love this story because it's such an escape from the ordinary. Can you say amen? It's an escape from the ordinary on so many levels. I mean, you can find about 5 or 6 different places in this where things are off the hook. They are coming against the status quo. Isn't Jesus, when you look at his life, you'll find out that Jesus was always confronting the status quo. Amen. Jesus was always turning everything upside down. And this is the very thing that has served to work against the church in this generation, is that we have fallen into tradition and ordinary. It has become ordinary, predictable, bland, and flat. One-dimensional, I call it. I don't like one-dimensional. Nobody likes one-dimensional. Can you say amen? We like something with some dimension. We like seeing all the sides. We like seeing all that's going on. We don't like the predictable or the bland, even though we think we do. I believe the reason that Jesus was so magnetic and so appealing and so captivating to the masses is because there was nothing ordinary about him. Jesus was wildly unpredictable. Amen. That's a good place to say amen right there. Jesus was wildly unpredictable. He was alive, he was vibrant, and he was supernatural. Yet one of the greatest dangers we face as a people of God is becoming ordinary, settled, set in our ways, if I dare say, domesticated. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's a real danger. But there's something about Christianity that's meant to be untamed. Not lawless, but free, exciting, risky. Even dare we say dangerous. It's so easy to become complacent, to become apathetic, lukewarm, routine, and comfortable. How many know what I'm talking about? It's easy to settle in. It's easy just to go with the flow. How many know this? When you go with the flow, you're no longer alive. It's only life that will swim upstream. Everything else just floats downstream. Are you hearing me? And this is what I believe that God is speaking to the church today, because I believe that God's will for our lives is that we would step into extraordinary living. Amen. That we would step out of the ordinary and step into the supernatural. In the beginning of this story, we find that Jesus is in a place called Capernaum. He's found someone's home where he has started teaching, and he's sharing, and it didn't take very long before a crowd grew. It grew so much that there was standing room only, and Jesus is in this house. There was expectancy in the air. This was the man, Jesus, who is there. He is the guy that raises the dead, and they all know it. And I'm sure that as Jesus preached, people hung on every word. No one has heard a man like this before. But right in the middle of this intense moment where every word is penetrating hearts, something begins to change. And the once focused crowd is distracted. You probably can never really understand how disheartening distraction is if you're not a preacher. Amen. So if Bill Frank right over there just started coughing real hard, like he's choking, and I'm talking and lightning bolts are flying out of my fingertips, you ain't paying attention to me anymore. You're all looking at Bill. I'm telling you, it'll happen. It's amazing how distraction can pull people's attention. You can be driving home and see a fire truck go by and think, I need to follow them. Why? Because we want to go where the fire is. We want to see what's going on. Why is it that there's an accident on the other side of the freeway? This side is completely free, but we're all slowed down. It's because we're all looking. We're distracted. And this is the moment. Something strange is happening. Eyes begin to stray away from Jesus, and everyone seems to be looking at the ceiling. Particles of dust are beginning to fall, and pieces are getting bigger and bigger, and the roof looks like it's moving. Wait, what is that? Is that a hand coming through? Oh my God, what's happening? And as the hole in the ceiling grows larger and larger, people are too stunned to even move. And with amazement and curiosity, they watch a man lowered down on a stretcher with some ropes right in front of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but if someone ripped a hole in the roof right here, in this ceiling, and lowered a man in front of me, I would think that would be a little bit out of the ordinary. Just a little. Think about this for a moment. What made this service different? Now, I know you're going to immediately say it's because they lowered a guy down on a rope. You know, they ripped the roof off and they put the guy down. I know, but think about it. Was it Jesus that made it out of the ordinary? Not really. Oh, you could say, but that's kind of a given. But he's always out of the box. Was it the size of the crowd? Not really. Jesus always drew a big crowd. Was it the intensity of his message? No, Jesus was always intense. Was it the hole in the roof that the man's being lowered through? Kind of, but not really. Was it the lame man that went home healed? Yeah, but Jesus always heals, right? So what made this service so much different? It was the four guys who ripped the hole in the roof. It was the four guys that said, you know what? We're getting our friend in front of Jesus. We are not going to be stopped. We are not going to say no, or we're not going to take no for an answer. We are not going to be resisted. We are going to overcome. And somewhere these four men heard about Jesus. They heard that he heals the sick. He opens blind eyes. The lame walk and the dead are raised. And they knew if they could get their friend to Jesus, he would walk again. They were determined. It was do or die. It was do or die. We're getting this done. There's no excuses. No give up. We're not going to give up. I don't care if all the seats are taken. I'm getting in. I don't care if it's too hot. I'm still going. I don't care if it's too cold. I'm going there. I don't care if the music is too loud. I didn't come for the music anyway. I didn't come for the ambience. I didn't come to be comfortable. I came to get in front of Jesus. I came to see the master move. I came because I had a need and I need Jesus to move. And so I am not taking no for an answer. They pushed, they pulled. I'm sure at first it was polite, but then it probably got more aggressive to no avail. Then it hit them like a ton of bricks to the roof. We're getting in. You just got to love these guys. And to the roof they went. And that day went down as an extraordinary day with supernatural results. Now, at some point you might ask me, are you suggesting that we're supposed to do this kind of stuff? Don't you think that's a little presumptuous? Don't you think we're being a little too aggressive? Here's what I'm suggesting. We need to escape the ordinary. We need to escape the ordinary. I'm amazed. Can I just talk about me? I'm amazed at what little thing can throw me off. Amen. I'm amazed at how small a thing the devil can put in front of me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out. I'm done. I'm through. And just settle for, well, this is good enough. Those are the worst words you can say. This is good enough. If this building were filled to standing room only, it still would not be good enough. We would need more. Well, I want more of God. Can you say amen? Amen. I want more souls saved. I want more bodies healed. I want more. Why? Because our God is a God of more. He's more than enough. He's not just enough or not enough. He's more than enough. And I want more of Him. And the Bible says that we are to contend. Story after story, word after word tells us that we are to contend for the supernatural. I dare say that the supernatural should become our ordinary instead of the exception. So how do you do that? Well, you're going to have to step out. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to take a risk. Can you say amen? Hudson Taylor, I love this quote. I've used it many, many times. But what he says is, he says, we are supernatural people, born again by a supernatural birth, kept by a supernatural power, sustained on supernatural food, taught by a supernatural teacher from a supernatural book. We ought to be supernatural. In Mark 16:20, the Bible says, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked with them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Yeah. The supernatural is to accompany us. Can you say amen? I think what we've done, church, in many ways, is we've become a little bit selfish with the supernatural, to the point that we have undermined it to where it's no longer effective. See, the church, and by and large, has co-opted the gifts of the Spirit and made it about us. But the gifts of the Spirit were never about us. They were about going out. If you remember what Jesus said to the disciples when he told them to wait for power, it's so that you can become my witnesses in all the world, in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, so that you could go out, I'll equip you, and I will give you specialized gifts, supernatural gifts, so that you could go out so that you can confirm the word that you preach with the signs and wonders that will flow through your life. You know what's for the church? Is the fruit of the Spirit. We don't like talking about the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, you know, that patience thing. How about that one at the end, that nasty one, the last one, self-control? We don't like that one. I like the gifts of the Spirit more than the fruits of the Spirit. But let me tell you something. A gift you have, a fruit has to be developed. You have to have roots deep in soil that are pulling in nutrients and health in order to bear fruit. But we don't like that. What we want is we want the supernatural. But church, I dare say that what's happened is we've co-opted. And so if we really, really want to see that supernatural and step out of the ordinary, it can't be about here. It's got to be about out there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's got to be about taking a risk. For some of you, that risk might be just smiling at your waitress today. And I don't mean to be facetious, but sometimes what we got to do is get out of our comfort zone for a moment. We got to take a risk and we got to do something extraordinary, something we've never done before. It's so easy for Christians to get stuck. Can you say amen? See, when God's presence rises, it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything in the room. The atmosphere is charged with supernatural power. Darkness flees and peace reigns. You can tell. You can tell when God's Spirit is moving through you. You can tell because there will be a tangible, palpable change in the atmosphere. You will feel it. You'll feel God beginning to move. You'll feel things begin to shift in the Spirit. You'll begin to see different things happening. Even like I could tell you, I've seen this happen at restaurants. I've seen God move at restaurants. I've seen Him move in grocery stores. I've seen Him move at work. I've seen Him move at school. I've seen Him move. Not just in the church, but in our lives. Can you say amen? Here are these four guys. What did they do? They said, we have a need. We have a friend that's paralyzed. You know what? He's the goalie on our soccer team and we need him. And we're not, the doctor said there's nothing they could do, but Jesus says he can fix that problem. Let's get there. They show up and it's like, you know what? Standing room only. How come you didn't get the time right? Why didn't we go early? Who's in charge of the schedule? I don't know. I'm sorry. I blew it. Well, I guess we could wait till next time. No, they didn't wait till next time. They said, hey, can we get in? And people said, you stop. Get away. Don't. And they're thinking, they're standing out there. They're thinking, we're not having a tailgate party. We're getting into this thing. Come on. They're looking around. And a guy sees a ladder. He says, you know what? This is our need. And our answer's in there. This is our need, and he's right there. Right there, past that wall. If we get past that wall, we could get him healed. And so what do? They climb up on the roof. It wasn't like the roofs were made well back then. They climb up on the roof, and they begin to tear the sod and the soil and the branches and the leaves and whatever material that they used for roofing at that time. They begin to tear it off. Now, this isn't just a little peephole. This is a hole big enough to lower a man down on a stretcher. So they're ripping material off. And they're getting in because our answer is right there. They're desperate for Jesus to do something. When's the last time that we've been truly desperate? Where we've said, God, I got to have you move. I got to have you move in my life. The problem is we like the ordinary. We like being comfortable. Predictable. We love the idea of God moving. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, there wouldn't be a hand down. Everyone would say, I want to see God move. Amen. Until it costs us something. Amen. We like Him moving as long as it's on our terms. As long as it's nice and neat and simple. And God, you just need to behave. Please, calm down, God. And in the end, what happens is we're led by fear rather than faith, putting more confidence in hell's ability to deceive us than the Holy Spirit's ability to transform us. Let me just be clear so nobody thinks I'm going wacky. There's no doubt that the devil has the ability and often does counterfeit the working of the Holy Spirit with false signs and wonders. But just because he counterfeit, look at, there's a lot of people counterfeiting $100 bills. So if you have $100 bills, go ahead and just give them all to me. I'll take care of it for you. You don't want to take a chance of having a counterfeit. So just, you know, just throw the baby out with the bathwater and give me all your $100 bills. We must grow and we must deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father so that we can discern the real from the counterfeit. Amen. You know how they teach bank tellers to recognize counterfeit money? They spend time showing them the real McCoy.
That's right.
Come on. When you know the real, I don't care how subtle the counterfeit is, you'll notice it. When you've experienced the power of God for real, right. When you've had Jesus come and move your life, you know what that feels like. You may not be able to describe it, but you know. I remember, I've told this story before, I remember when I was a real little boy, probably about 5 years old, my dad and I went fishing. And my dad baited my hook for me, and he says, okay, throw your hook into the water. We're in this little metal boat. And so I threw my hook in the water, and I had my little fishing pole. My dad says, just let it go down, just let it go down. And so it went down, and the way we had the in Michigan, the way you have it set up is you have your sinker on the bottom, and then your bait's dangling about 18 inches above your above the sinker. Well, with the rocking of the boat, what would happen is the sinker would come off the bottom, and what it would do is make the pole go like this. And every time I'd see that pole go like that, like I had a whale on there. And I would jerk that line so hard that the bait would come off. And I'd come up with an empty hook, and my dad was forever baiting my hook. Finally, he said to me, he says, John, put the thing in the water. So I put it in there. He goes, now, leave it alone. Set that pole down. And I set it down. He goes, now, see that movement right there? I said, yeah. He goes, that's not a fish. He goes, you'll know when a fish gets on there. And I said, Dad, how will I know? He goes, I don't know, except it'll feel alive. That's what I remember him saying to me. He goes, I don't know, except to say it'll feel alive. I don't know if I can describe to you what's extraordinary in your life. I don't know what I could explain to you as out of the box for you or supernatural in your life. I don't want to sit here and limit God in any way, because I could tell you a still small voice at the right time can move your life like nothing else. But lightning from heaven's nice too. So I'm not really sure what's supernatural in your life, but I know this, whatever it is, if it's God, it'll feel alive. Amen. It will feel alive. You'll know it. There's something about your spirit that will resonate and go, this is it. Yeah. Listen to me. When we talk about escaping the ordinary, we're not talking about a lawless, out of order, carnal, weird event masquerading as supernatural. When we talk about escaping the ordinary, I'm talking about seeking God in His presence. Are you hearing me? See, that's what they needed. All they knew, all these guys knew, these four guys knew, we got to get this guy in Jesus' presence. Now, they may not have said it that way. They may not have had the theological terminology down. But they said, we got to get him to Jesus. Either that or we got to get Jesus to him. One of the two. But he needs to come before Jesus. For decades, maybe even centuries, the church has gathered weekly around a sermon And our reasons are noble. We value the scripture and we know that our lives are to be anchored to the truth. We know that. Preaching's good. I'm a preacher and studying the Bible is paramount in our life. But studying the Bible is meant to launch us into an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. Look at what Jesus told the Pharisees in John 5, 39 and 40. He says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Now that statement is not intended to get us to put less value on the scripture. That would be a great mistake, but the point is this morning, without the Holy Spirit, the Bible is a closed book. The Bible was written in such a way that only in a relationship with God and having an ongoing access to what God is doing and His person are the mysteries of God revealed through Scripture. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see truth, and Jesus is the truth we long to understand. Jesus is perfect theology. The church camps around a sermon. Israel camped around the presence. He didn't get that. We camp around a sermon. What we need is the presence. Learning to recognize, treasure, and carry this presence is at the heart of our Christian life. Can you say amen? Recalibrating our hearts to value this above everything else affects everything. To camp around the presence of God in our personal lives as well as our church means that He is the reference point for all that is said and done. God's presence needs to be central. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That was the point of this story. Like I said, there's a lot of things you can point out here. You could point out the crowd. You could point out that this was happening in someone's home. This was a home Bible study gone wild. You could point out the fact that it's Jesus there teaching. That's pretty amazing. You can point out the fact that these guys ripped a hole in the roof. That's pretty amazing. You can point out the fact that this man got healed. That's pretty amazing. But what really stands out is that these four guys knew their answer lied in the presence of Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" When He saw their faith, when He saw, they knew what was going on. They knew instinctively. Their faith said, "If we can get there." Isn't that the same thing that the woman with the issue of blood said? Amen. "If I could touch the hem of His garment." Amen. I don't need Him to lay hands on me. I don't need a special prayer. I don't need some theological movement. I don't need a Bible study, or I don't need this. What I need is to touch Jesus. I need to get to Him. Too often we get stuck between a genuine desire to see God move and the fear of risking getting involved. What if I do something wrong? I'll be honest with you, these questions, these things that I'm saying we ask to ourselves, these are things that I've said. I have felt God move. I have felt God want me to step out and do something different. And I've thought, what if I do something wrong? You know what God's answer is? You probably will. What if I make a mistake? Just count on it. What if things get out of control? Let's hope so. Because when they're out of your control, they'll be in my control. What if God's presence is manifested in the supernatural? What if God shows up and heals everyone in the room? What if the Spirit of God draws people into this place unexplainably? What if everything changed because we just simply escaped the ordinary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. I hope this morning that I've been able to communicate this to you. Because see, the thing that God wants us to do, that I believe in my heart, is God wants us to make impact. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about ministry, and I was thinking about my life and the years of ministry and time in and doing church and, you know, showing up and all of that. And I was thinking, what's it all been about? Well, what it needs to be about is, am I doing the will of God? Am I making an impact? See, because when you do the will of God, when you do what God tells you to do, no matter how small or how big, you will make impact. It will change things because it draws the presence of God. And where the presence of God is, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's healing, there's provision, there's more than enough. See, sometimes what we do is we just so categorize what we're doing. We take all the life out of it. Let me tell you something. Your life is significant today, church. Your life. You are on purpose. Is your life making an impact? Well, I'm not a preacher. I've had this said to me probably about 4 or 5 times in the last few weeks. Well, the reason that you do what you do is because you're a preacher. Because you're a pastor, you're supposed to do. Let me tell you something. I am first a Christian, child of God. First. First, that's it. Out of that relationship, I have a role in the church called pastor. I also have a role called husband, a role called father, grandfather, friend. And it's from that relationship that all of those things are fed. But I don't do what I do today because I get a paycheck or because I get to stand in front of you. I don't do this because there's some sort of benefit to me. I do this today because out of my relationship with my Father, He has called me. The reason that I keep my feet firmly on the ground, even though sometimes you might talk to me and think I'm going nuts, but the reason that I stay put is because this is what He said to do. He said, do that. And I could tell you stories of how God literally tightened me down at times in my life where I was ready to run or ready to do this or ready to do that. And God says, no, John, this is what I have put you on the planet for. And there's been times when I've even questioned that. I've said, really? This? This is why you put me here. God said, just keep going. You're doing what I asked. It's exactly what I want you to do. And you know what? That is making impact. That, the other day, I'll close with this if Jason wants to come. The other day, I forget where I was. We wasn't at church. We were somewhere. And I think that I had Andy with me. We were at a restaurant or someplace. We were sitting. And somebody came up. We were talking. And this person walked up to me and this happens a lot in Kingman. People will come up to me and they'll say, hi, Pastor, how you doing? And I don't necessarily know them because they may have met me in Jacob's Ladder 20 years ago. And they remember me, but I don't necessarily remember them because we didn't have a lot of interaction. Or they have met me through the different times of ministry here in church or whatever. Well, I've just learned to say, hi, how you doing? How's things going, you know? Well, this is one of those moments. This guy come up and he says, hey, Pastor, how you doing? I said, I'm good. He goes, man, I just want to tell you, I'm doing really good. I said, you are? He goes, yeah. He goes, man, I've been drug-free now for 15 years. He goes, I've been sober for 15 years. I said, really? That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. He goes, you know, he goes, I came to your Jacob's Ladder program. And he said, you know what? I just listened to what you had to say. And he said, I can't even explain it. Something happened in me. It changed me. And I walked away from that and I realized that, you know what, we never really do understand the impact of our lives. We really never do understand how far our life reaches. A kind word, a gentle smile, telling somebody they're doing a good job, encouragement, whatever it might be. We never really understand how significant that moment is. And I think sometimes what we do, the ordinary thing to do, is to dismiss all of that. The ordinary thing to do is just to go, I don't mean nothing, I'm just a number, or I'm a name on a roll somewhere, or I just occupy a chair at church. That's the ordinary thing to do. I'm not asking you to go rip roofs off houses. Please don't. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get lost in the imagery. What happened to these guys is they said, we have a need, and we need to get him to Jesus. And their faith took them out of the ordinary to where they could do something significant and change that man's life. Church, we need to be a church that gets out of the ordinary. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you. God, we give you glory and we give you honor today. And Father, I pray for every person in this room right now, God, that if their hearts are being stirred, Father, that they would begin to make a commitment to you to step out of the ordinary, God, to not dismiss their life, to realize that they can make impact, that they could change the world around them. Father, I pray, God, that you would stir us. Stir us up, God. Father, that we would desire to see more of your moving in our lives. But Lord, help us never to forget, God, that it's in your presence. God, that we would practice the presence, that we would always be aware and sensitive to your presence, to your moving. And Father, we're careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the ministry team if they would come. If you have a need of any kind, you can come up and let them pray for you. We're going to release you today. God bless you. You guys have a wonderful day. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.